This is Rodney Has Cheeseburger by Morgane 22, and it's read by Penny Plain Knits. Rodney wasn't fat. He was robustly stocky. Many respectable animals were stocky, the noble sea turtle, for example. But obviously, cats were far more attractive and intelligent, and therefore superior. When the humans started picking him up less, the grunt of exertion really was a bit much, he was totally fine with it. They were bound to drop him someday soon anyway, and with his stockiness, landing on his feet was never a sure thing. He in no way took this decline in attention as any sort of slight against him. Until they brought the other one home. He smelled the thing even before they completely entered the door, his own cage swinging in his female human's hand. She and the box disappeared into the guest room, and then she reappeared with an empty cage. Taylor pet him on the head, softly, and left before he could lean away from the distraction. He padded over to the closed door, crouching to smell under the thin strip of open air between it. After a few minutes, he heard something moving inside, and his pupils dilated with anticipation of something to... A slender black arm with a white mitt snapped out and clocked him square on the nose. Rodney pounced back a good foot away from the shock and hissed the moment his paws touched the ground. His back arched in a grand display to the bare strip of empty space under the door. The animal behind it let out a huff that sounded suspiciously like a snicker. And that's how he met John. He hated John. No, hate was not a strong enough word. He loathed him. John was the new cat. His human, Taylor, had other humans come over to see the new cat. Rodney occasionally made a show to these visitors of displaying his rich ginger coat and rubbing against the wall with the prominent arch of his tail. They walked right by him. He scowled in the direction of John's room when the humans closed the door behind themselves and retreated to his food bowl. It smelled kind of weird with the towel Taylor had wrapped around it. Was that cat hair product? But he couldn't really be bothered because, food. He decided he'd have to lay down the law if he ever expected to live amicably with the new cat. God forbid, they might even have to share a food bowl. He definitely needed to set some ground rules for the uncivilized creature. Once Taylor had left for the day to do her human things, Rodney casually strolled to the shut door. He sat, far enough away that a freakishly slinky arm couldn't reach him, and collected himself. Right. Authoritative. He could do that. No problem. Psst! Hey! Rodney froze. He hunched down and saw the shadow of the intruder on the other side. "Hey, I know you're out there," he went on. "So what?" Rodney snapped. "So, hi. Hey, I'm sorry about the other day." "Oh, you mean when you assaulted me?" "A sheepish, yeah," answered. He added, "I thought you were a dog." "What?" "Well, your shadow is pretty big. I thought you were a small dog." "Excuse me?" Rodney nearly spit with outrage. "My name's John. What's yours?" "I am Rodney Meredith McKay Imagine," he recited. He could practically hear the face John made when he asked, "Why do you have so many names?" "Because I'm special." "Well, I guess I'm not special, because I'm just John." "No, you're not special, just John. And on that subject, I would like to lay down a few ground rules for when you get out of that room. Rule number one, you do not, under any circumstances, take anything that either currently belongs to me, is given to me, or that I decide is better suited for myself should a new toy or bed come into the house that I see as more deservedly mine. Rule number two, hey, Rodney, want to play?" What?" A white mittened foot appeared under the door and dashed away like a flash. "Come on, I bet you can't catch me." The paw dashed out again, but a ways down the door from the original point. Rodney's feline instincts flared to attention at the enticing object. He had to shake himself to clear his mind. "Are you 3 months old, or just have the mind of one?" "No, I'm a year old. Come on, try it." That damn paw kept darting out in random spots, and each time Rodney had to restrain his instinct to pounce. "Kill! Kill!" "How old are you?" John kept up conversationally, despite dancing from one side of the door to another, then arbitrarily snapping a foot out. 2, not that it matters," he muttered, his eyes following every almost flicker of light for that paw. "I was smarter than every one of my littermates from the very beginning. Well, except Jeanie. She was somewhat gifted as well, but she's wasting away with some child human in the suburbs." "That sounds nice." "It's not. I'm sure she's manhandled by the Rugrat on a daily basis." "Paw? Paw? There! Ah, gone." "My humans left me." It took Rodney a minute to realise John's voice had gone a little quieter, and his prancing had toned down. "Left you? Left you where?" "They just left." Flash of a paw. "They moved away and the big human man left me in the alley outside." "That's terrible. What a bastard." "Yeah." John sighed and stopped his play. "The scary men came and put me in a box. A couple humans looked like they were going to take me home from that place, but they didn't. A pretty one with long red hair. Then another one with short dark hair. But then this human came. I like her. Taylor. She's very... good. Yeah, she seems nice." "Well, she won't throw you into an alley, that's for sure," Rodney replied. "Well, that's good, because... got you!" Rodney jumped into the air as though struck by a cobra, not the small white paw that snapped out and battered his own foot. He growled at the shadow dancing along the beam of light from under the door. "I hate you." "Now behave, Rodney," Taylor hummed as she turned the door handle slowly. The ginger cat in question craned his head around to see through the slight crack. "What do you look like, anyway?" he absently wondered. "You're probably dirty, coming from the pound. And, ew, do you have fleas?" "I don't have fleas, Rodney," John answered, and his own head appeared on the other side of the crack, Taylor kept open barely more than an inch. "Oh!" The shock of black fur spiking in all directions caught Rodney's attention first. John was tuxedo black, a tuft of white down his chest and on his paws, but it was the unkempt fur pointed every which way that drew Rodney's grimace. "Don't you groom yourself?" "Yes, I groom myself," he answered, but was busy inspecting the larger cat on the other side, taking in the light chestnut colour and round frame. John's nose lifted to catch his scent, and Rodney did the same. He recognised the smell from somewhere. It was kind of nice, actually. "Nice coat," John observed. "Thank you," he automatically answered, then paused. "Wait, what?" John shifted gears just as quickly as he'd started, and rubbed his entire side along the edge of the door. "Why is it she opening the door all the way?" "She thinks we're going to maul each other." Rodney was actually more interested in the scent he was getting coming from the slinky black cat. "We're cool," John called up to the sliver of Taylor he could see through the door's crack. "Come on." Rodney cringed at the immediate effect John had on his human. Her face went all soft and gentle and enamoured. Rodney hadn't gotten that look in a while. But it appeared to be diminishing her resolve, so he threw his hat in as well. He stood, his back arched with hopeful encouragement. "Yeah, it's okay. I won't kill him. Unless he makes me." "I heard that. Do you want to come out of that room or not? Turn on that smarminess you call charm." John somehow managed to narrow a glare at Rodney, but replied, "You want charm? I'll show you charm." Before his very eyes, Rodney witnessed a cat lose all self-respect. John rolled over, on his back. His white belly, stark against the all-over black coat, flashed before the two spectators, and his mittens curled softly in exaggerated adorableness. Rodney's mouth fell, but Taylor cooed on cue. John blissfully let his eyes softly shut as her noise of adoration turned into a full-blown, "Oh!" "Scoot back, Rodney," she instructed, and Rodney caught John smiling upside down at him before he got an insistent nudge from Taylor's leg. "You've no dignity," he muttered while the door opened. John was on his feet with a throwaway, "Overrated." Taylor watched attentively as the two carefully approached each other and almost touched noses in their exploration of scent. "You smell good too," John observed aloud. Rodney stilled. "Really?" He could have sworn John smirked. "Show me the rest of the house." He shifted gears again, cautiously padding past Rodney and into the giant new hallway. Rodney straightened. "Don't even look at the window seat. It's mine." "So what do you do here all day?" John inquired. He dug his claws into the beam of the scratching post which housed Rodney on a higher perch and stretched luxuriously. Rodney shot a glare at the lanky cat jostling his legs with his claw sharpening. "I relax, bathe, groom, people watch." He noticed John giving him a blank stare from the ground. "Oh, what did you do at your old home?" "I dunno. I didn't have company there." "What do you want to do?" "I want to relax," he shot back, then wondered aloud. "Why did Taylor get you?" "I think I'm supposed to keep you company," John reported, licking at an ivory paw, then dragging it over an ear. Rodney watched the same tuft he fought to contain spring back into place. "Yeah, that's an effort in futility. Wait, what do you mean, keep me company?" Rodney had to crane around the ledge to see John fully, and the black cat stretched his front legs out, his back arched down in a graceful bow. "Oh, I'm sure it's nothing. I'll leave you alone since you want to relax." "Hey!" Rodney indignantly called, but John's long black tail was already swishing in casual exit. Rodney noticed the tail mostly only twitched at the very tip. "That was weird." He discovered John the next day after missing him at dinner. He must have eaten earlier since his bowl was mostly empty, and, well, it was just unhygienic to leave food out, so Rodney finished it off. John balanced on a high window ledge Rodney hadn't been able to reach, or fit on, in a year. After a few quick observations, "Hey, did you jump on the table to get up there? Taylor doesn't like us on the table. We're not allowed. You can't just go around jumping on things that you don't know if you're not allowed to or not." "Relax, Rodney," he remarked with purposeful emphasis. "I jumped from the ground." "What? Are you serious?" Rodney gauged the height and gaped. "Yep. Well, fine." John gazed out the window that overlooked the backyard. Rodney hadn't seen the backyard in a year. Sure, he got to see the street in the front, but the yard? There were birds and animals back there, probably. Rodney's tail swished on the floor impatiently. "Was that all?" John attempted an innocent tone, but Rodney knew smug when he heard it. "Yes," he bit back, and started for his own cat-tree-assisted window ledge in the front of the house. "If you want," John proposed, "I could get Taylor to move the cat tree back here." Rodney gawked at the black silhouette. "And how would you propose to do that, exactly?" "You underestimate me, Rodney. Hey, I think I see a mouse in the grass." Rodney knew he was being taunted, so he brushed by the distraction and asked what he was really there for. "What did you mean before? About being here? For me?" John's white chest filled and exhaled with a sigh. He jumped down from the ledge and faced the ginger cat. "Just something Taylor said. It was something about hoping we get along, because she thought you were lonely. What? I resent that. I'm perfectly content. Yeah, your life seems completely satisfying. Sitting, bathing. Does it get any better than this? Rodney scowled at the sarcasm dripping from the little bastard. And what would you do different? He sneered. I don't know. Have some fun? A little adventure? What adventure? We're house cats. I can make adventure anywhere. John smiled with infinite self-satisfaction. I'm sure even finding the litter box can be an adventure for you, Rodney remarked. I was thinking more along the lines of getting into that closet in the bedroom that's always closed, he clarified with a mischievous glint in his eye. Rodney paused. It's a closet. What are you hoping to discover? A shoebox to stash your hairballs in? Well, we'll never know until we check it out, he snidely noted. Knock yourself out, Rodney yawned, strolling away. Fine. Get back to your exciting sitting, John tossed out. I will, thank you. Rodney successfully contained his curiosity for 2 whole days. He heard scratching. He heard shifting. He heard clawing. Whatever it was, his ears unconsciously rotated to the direction of the bedroom, but his gaze remained steadily on cars and pedestrians outside, or firmly shut in one of his many naps. When he heard Taylor's surprised, John! One evening, he gave in to his impulses and trotted to the room. The culprit was frozen in place, claws firmly secured in the stitching of the carpet and in mid-rake as he owlishly blinked up at the human. It's not what it looks like. Ha! Rodney barked. John, that was very bad. Look at the claw marks on the door. The black cat carefully extracted his nails and backed up as she inspected the damage to the wood. You're in so much trouble, Rodney haughtily sniffed. John glared sideways. What is it you want in my closet? She opened the door invitingly, and the stuffy air wafted out. Rodney cringed, but John grinned, infinitely pleased. Do not get into anything you might damage, John, Taylor instructed with an amused lilt before leaving. He padded into the dark space, and Rodney hesitantly followed, muttering, God, you get away with murder! He stepped over a heel. Oh, shoes. Fascinating. Smells funny in here, John's disembodied voice noted. That, Captain Adventure, is the reek of dust and mildew. Rodney lifted a paw, his eyes adjusting to the darkness, and saw a perfect print through the layer of dust. Ugh, I'll be grooming for hours from this. Up here, John called. Rodney discovered the short dresser in the centre of the walk-in closet, and the black feline perched triumphantly on its top. With some effort, he jumped up next to him. Yes, very good. His tone laced with sarcasm, but to be perfectly honest, he'd never been there before. It did have a nice view of a large closet, and, with the door open, out into the bedroom. I like it here, John declared. It's like an island. How do you know what an island is? John glanced down his nose at the ginger cat seated beside him. Taylor watches the Travel Channel. The human in question appeared again, flipping a switch and filling the space with light. The two discovered it was much larger than either had originally thought. I really like it here, John smiled. Rodney hummed in reluctant agreement. Taylor's human man, Ronan, visited a week later, and John froze when he lifted him off the ground. The man held him in one hand, the slinky black cat going limp in the large human's grip. He narrowed a look, face to face, with the feline. I like this one. He's laid back. Not like that stuck-up, chubby one. Rodney scoffed from the floor. John smirked. I think he's talking about you. Yes, thank you, he sneered as Ronan set John back on the ground. Don't worry, he continued and padded over to the other cat. I don't think you're chubby. You just have a full coat. As if to demonstrate the fact, John rubbed his side against Rodney's and the fluff of his ginger coat shivered pleasantly. Oh. Ronan's brow rose. They're both boys, right? Yes, Taylor answered with a soft smile. I believe they are getting along quite well. I'll say, he rumbled. John pounced suddenly with his full weight on Rodney's nervous tail, sending a jolt through the larger cat. Tag! Hey! A streak of black darted away and Rodney scrambled to catch the son of a... Taylor paused as the two cats bolted away. It is a slow-building relationship. Hey, Rodney. How are you liking my island? Rodney's ears turned back, conveying his irritation. His head lifted from the soft pillow of his paws to disgustedly glare down from the dresser at the dark cat, whose head cocked with a superior tilt. Your island? Who do you think you are? You just waltzed in here 5 minutes ago. I could argue everything in this entire house is mine. I was here first. Yeah, but you never would have found this lost island if it weren't for me. Rodney sputtered. John smiled, without teeth. I too would have. Sure, he cooed, and hopped up to the dresser's top. Rodney sat up on his front leg straighter, but refused to yield his new favourite sleeping place. Hey, scoot over a little. John nudged as he circled once and began to settle himself. What are you doing? There's no room for both of us to lie. Sure there is. The limber cat began to situate himself next to him. Sure, if we're going to spoon, Rodney snapped with infinite irritation. So what? John vocally shrugged. So what is that I was here first? And? Sharing is caring, Rodney. Rodney shot to his feet and jumped down from the island, just as John sprawled comfortably. Sit yourself. Rodney got out only and unable to speak past the outrage building in his throat. He stormed out with effective zeal instead. John snickered after him. Rodney's pupils dilated, his breathing halted, and he watched with frozen awareness as the black flyer squeezed its body through the crack under the window screen. Its tiny legs twitched, and it felt its way into the house, the puny invader, and Rodney's heart pounded with the anticipation of the kill. What's that? Engrossed in his hunt, Rodney hadn't heard John approach on the cat tree's ledge behind him, and his voice jarred the ginger cat. Jesus, what is the matter with you? Rodney yelped. But John was focused on the bug with cold seriousness. Rodney, get back. What? Why? Just back away, nice and slow, he carefully instructed as the bug got that much closer to freedom from the screen. It's just a flyer. I eat them all the time. It's no ordinary flyer, John lowly explained. The bug wrenched free abruptly, and the black cat jumped to his back feet, creating a flurry of confusion when the insect attacked. Get down! The bug veered, soaring into the room, and Rodney gaped. What are you doing? Are you crazy? It's a wasp, John yelled back, already in pursuit. A wasp? But Rodney had only heard of those before. Tales from Taylor and the humans about their stingers, and how with one touch they could kill. Well, a cat, anyway. And John recklessly jumped from one surface to another, flying over the back of the couch to the table to the kitchen counter, chasing the invading creature. John, be careful! He slid on the slippery counter, barely regaining composure when the insect landed on the kitchen window, seeking escape, the coward! John dropped low, stalking forward in an even crawl. He neared, and Rodney wondered aloud, What are you going to do? The slender cat popped up, batting the wasp down without touching the stinger. It fell on the counter, stunned, and John swiftly shoved a kitchen towel over it with a lunging dive. Rodney rushed down from the cat tree and jumped from chair to counter. He found John efficiently crushing the bug through the layers of towel until it quieted and buzzed no more. Wow! Rodney stared when John dragged the cloth back with a claw and the curled wasp lay, stinger prominent and deadly. How did you know how to do that? John kind of shrugged, if that were possible. You spend some time outside, you soon learn stuff about bad guys. It could have killed me. The darker cat shifted, uncomfortably. Nah, you're fine. Rodney realised. It could have killed you! What the hell were you thinking? John paused. I was thinking it could have killed us. What was I supposed to do? Wait for Taylor. She knows how to handle wasps. We can't go around fighting killer wasps all by ourselves. Don't worry, Rodney. You don't have to. He replied and stood, contented, the tip of his tail doing that weird kink. That's what you have me for now. Rodney thought maybe he was in trouble when he started bedding down where he found John's scent. The black cat would take a nap on the back of the couch. Then an hour or so later, Rodney would roam around and catch the smell in the cushion and think, hey, this is a good spot. When he caught himself rolling in John's favourite basket, he knew he had a problem. He eyed the preposterous hair atop John's head one especially dull afternoon with focused aggravation. What? John didn't even look away from his gaze out the window overlooking the backyard. Rodney didn't realise he'd been staring from beside him on the cat tree ledge. Even that raised his hackles. John had made a show of reaching for the window that looked over the backyard for Taylor, stretching with exaggerated longing. She had gotten the message. The next day, the cat tree had been moved, just as John had promised. Remembering he hadn't responded, Rodney snapped, "What?" "That's what I said." "What?" "Nothing." "You're looking at me." Rodney held his tongue for a solid 10 seconds. "Your hair is comically ridiculous. There." "It is not," John instinctively retorted, but sobered with, "Besides, I can't do anything about it. It just goes like that." Fighting with indecision, Rodney finally gave up. "Just come here." John stumbled a little as Rodney's arm hooked around his neck and pulled him down. He sat on all fours and Rodney promptly got to work, trying to tame the disarray of hair down with his sandy tongue. The effort took longer than Rodney anticipated, and eventually he laid down as well while John quietly enjoyed the attention. "There," he announced triumphantly. "Now you resemble a cat." "Yeah, we'll see how long that lasts." "Well, if you stop rolling around in your blanket, maybe your hair won't look like you've stuck your tail in a wall socket." "I roll around in it 'cause it smells good," John purred shrewdly. Rodney remembered his own rolling around on the blanket. "Oh. But I don't need the blanket. I'm okay right here." The black cat shifted to lay his head on his paws, and Rodney noticed he hadn't removed his arm from around him, and he was, in fact, spooning John. He sniffed a last attempt at denial, but the contented smile on John's face made him realise, "Huh. Me too." And a rebellious tuft of hair softly pinged atop John's head.